This episode of Keeping It Real is brought to you by Knot Standard, a premium luxury custom menswear experience in Chicago with the highest quality fabric sourced from the top mills in the world and more than 7,000 customizable details. Each Knot Standard product is as unique as you are. Book an appointment with trusted stylist Lauren Lipton at knotstandard.com. That's knotstandard.com/Lauren and mention me, DJ Paris, to enjoy a complimentary shirt with your first purchase. Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by Chicago real estate brokers for Chicago real estate brokers, also brokers who listen from all over the country, so I should probably update that. But we interview the top 1% of realtors in Chicago. There's 40,000. We only talk to the top 400 and ask them how they built their business and what advice they have for other brokers who may be listening. And they share their strategies, their secrets, and what has made them successful. So we're coming up on 100 episodes and we keep getting more listeners. So we're super grateful because we spend no money on marketing. But I would like everyone who is listening, if they want to help us, if we're helping you, here's a couple of ways you can help us. Number one, tell a friend. If you know any other brokers in the industry that would love to hear what top producers are doing so that they could replicate that success, tell them, right? Anyone in your office, you know, give them a link to our show. The more listeners, the more people we can help. Second, go to our Facebook page. So it's facebook.com/keepingitrealpod. Why? Because we post links to all of our episodes, exclusive content, and it's just a great way to stay in touch to find out what we've got going on. And then third, if you are an Apple user, subscribe to us on iTunes. Do a search for Keeping It Real Podcast. If you're an Android person, you can go to Google Play and do the same, or just use whatever podcast app you have and search for Keeping It Real Podcast. You'll find us. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. And then one last thing, this is kind of cool. You know how you have an Alexa at home? Probably everybody does, and it just sits there and you don't use it. I use it to turn my lights on and off, and that's literally all I use it for. Well, you can actually now use it to play our podcast. So there's one step involved, which means you go into your Alexa app on your phone or your mobile device, and go to the skills and do a search for Keeping It Real Podcast. You'll see we have a skill. You have to activate that skill. It takes 2 seconds. And then you can simply ask, and you know how to activate. I won't do this in case you're listening at home, but you would ask, play Keeping It Real Podcast, right? And it will just play the most current episode. So it's pretty cool. I don't know if anyone's using it that way, but you can, and maybe I'll even start using it. So up in a few moments, we have another great interview, this time with Sophia Klopas and Jason Stratton of the Klopas Stratton team at Berkshire Hathaway. They did an amazing job. So without further ado, let's get to Jason and Sophia. Today on the show, we have Sophia Klopas and Jason Stratton of Berkshire Hathaway. This is the Klopas Stratton team. So let's talk about Sophia. Sophia has a master's degree in interior design, which assists her buyers in stepping back and noticing the appeal of different properties. Her approach gives buyers a unique vision of their property and a great understanding of what will help in a resale later on. On the selling side, she's able to look at a listing and tell the owner what is needed for a quick and profitable sale. Sophia and her husband moved to Bucktown over 19 years ago. On a hunch, the neighborhood would come around, and hopefully, rather happily, they were right and still call Bucktown home today. Now, Jason comes from a finance background, has been heavily involved with the real estate market since 1998. Since stepping into the Board of Trade 19 years ago, Jason has kept an eye on the housing market and himself was acquiring real estate his first year in the financial market. Jason prides himself on examining a client from heart to mind, understanding the passion one has for a piece of property and assessing property's fair value. He understands that not only will his client consider consider their place their home, but for most people, their largest single financial investment. Jason lives in Bucktown as well with his wife, Nikki, their three sons, and their dog, Jerry. And we should also mention that they are brother and sister, Sophia and Jason, but you can check out their website as well at clopisstratton.com. But anyway, welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. We are so excited. This is the first, not only the first brother-sister team, but we've only ever on the show had a handful of teams where both team leaders were on the podcast. So we really appreciate it. It gets a little tricky if they're both male or female. In this case, it's pretty easy to figure out who's who. But Sophia, let's start with you. I'd like to hear about how, and our listeners would love to hear about how you got into real estate.
Well, as you said in my bio, I started out with a degree in design, and I was working at a design firm and ended up doing a model for a developer back in 2002 in the South Loop, and asked me if I wanted to stay on over the weekend to host an open house. I was working as a developer's rep, so I was unlicensed at the time.
Wow.
That's legal if you're
sure, working. Of course, yeah.
And I think I sold 2 or 3 condos on the opening weekend, and wow. I said, "Sold. This is for me.
I can do this."
Put away my drafting pencil and went to get my license, and that is my story.
Wow, that's amazing. It's an incredible first weekend in the business, right?
Yeah, it was 2002 in the South Loop, so you know we still had the mayor down there. It was a hot and happening place. As it still is, but it was just starting at that point.
Well, I even remember back then, people would be buying pre-construction and then even reselling pre-construction.
Right.
I mean, it was an incredible time back then, in the South Loop in particular.
It was. So yeah, that was how I got involved. And it somewhat is related in that it, you know, had to do with homes and aesthetic values. And I mean, even till today, I use what I've learned in selling.
That's great. And Jason, your background is different. So could you explain about how you got into real estate?
Yeah. I mean, I was actually really interested in real estate more as a hedge against inflation.
Sure.
In terms of the stock market. And I started looking at acquiring properties and, you know, kind of like looking at stuff that was happening. I loved Bucktown. At the time, Sophia and I had purchased a house together. So we were living in the same house. I was in the lower level. Sophia was upstairs. I was trading and then started buying. And then, you know, just to not get too long into it because we have so much other stuff to hit into. At that point, Sophia was pretty established and she had reached out to me because one of her partners was leaving for California and she knew I loved real estate. And I loved the tangibility of the asset. Like I loved the fact that it was a house.
Right.
Versus what I was doing, which was kind of just not speculative, but it was basically account to account. You never really saw anything because you were in and out of trades throughout the day. And the opportunity arose and Sophia's like, hey, I need help. I'm getting very busy. Is this something that you would like to do? And I started doing it, just helping her in open houses and here and there. And it just completely took off. And one of the first projects that I helped Sophia on was a 50 unit building in Lincoln Park on Diversity.
Wow.
And literally all of my business started from that building. I mean, I have people that are like on fourth, fifth, sixth generation of buying or selling or referrals. And it all started from a 50 unit building and Sophia gave it to me, but that was my break came from that building. And as that book of business got so big, you know, I slowly just walked away from the floor because I just loved real estate.
We needed to be together full time or else
sure.
It was too much work.
Yeah.
For one person.
That's incredible. And we should talk about your team. This is probably a good time to mention this and talk about how you guys have, how long is the team? I guess it's been in effect for, gosh, how many years now?
Well, I was licensed in 2002. Jason was licensed in 2004. We moved to Koenig in 2006, 2007. I can't remember the exact time.
Sure.
And it was just the two of us. And our managing broker insisted that it was way too much for two people to do and that it was time to loosen the purse strings and get an assistant.
Sure.
Thankfully, we listened to her, to Nancy, and we did. And as we got busier, they were extremely supportive in helping us find the right people. And actually, Chris was first, Chris Johnson, and he's still with us today. And we have just slowly added as needed. And, you know, right now we're at, there's Jason and I and then four other people.
That's incredible. That's awesome. And we were talking offline and you guys have very specific beliefs around the team, best team structure that works for you. And your team operates a bit differently than other teams. So can you talk a bit about that?
I think it works for us, but it also works for the team member.
Sure.
I have an experience where, you know, someone who's not on our team and not in our company is calling and asking me for help on contracts because they're not getting the support from the team they're in. So I think Jason specifically works really a lot with the team members on helping them become higher in volume and closer to what we do in making them part. I mean, aspect.
I think the way we do it, and obviously
how we look for it to be.
Yeah. And hopefully everyone that does what they do think it's the best. So I'm going to tell you what
we
do, I believe is the best. I think it's the best for the client and I think it's the best for the agent. I have, and this is probably a podcast in itself. I have serious issues with the way that teams are built now,
right,
where people are task specific within that team. I think that's how I want to say.
Sure.
In other words, for example, I did a sale in Lincoln Park and I met with the agent that had the buyer. The agent that met with the buyer didn't really know the buyer. They do the show.
Right, right.
Now, this is not what the discount brokers do it the same way, but this was not what the discount brokers, I want to throw that out there. You know how teams are being assembled now, which is a completely disservice for the agent and for the client.
So what we're talking about for the listeners, if you're not familiar, this is a team structure. This is not the way Sophia and Jason do it, but they're a team structure where people are assigned roles, tasks. They're not full service. Each member is not full service. So they get assigned and they get passed from person to person.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is that there's no relationship that's built and no one's driving the car.
Right.
And I have noticed that these team members never get good at the craft because all they're doing is one aspect and one task of the whole thing. I think as an early agent, if you're in this type of team, you need to make sure that you don't get pegged as a buyer agent, as a seller agent, as a person that just goes and does inspections.
Opens the door.
You need to know, to be successful, you need to know from the rooter to the tutor. You need to know everything. And I think how everyone is doing it now is trying to emulate kind of how some of the discount brokers are doing it and trying to set their team up that way. And I don't think it's the best. I mean, as an agent, I don't know how you grow because you're only doing one thing. And as a consumer and as a seller, how do you know that you're being represented properly? Because who is your representation? Who is the person that's driving the truck? And I will tell you, for me personally, dealing with those situations as a buyer's rep or as a seller rep, depending on what side I'm at, on the opposite side of the transaction, thank you, Sophia, is extremely frustrating. And the success rate of those transactions is not high.
Yeah, boy, I'm with you. I think that's right. And I also just think back to my own experience when I bought a condo a million years ago that I had one point of contact, one broker. Of course, it's fine to have an assistant and an admin and that sort of thing. But I'm glad I only dealt with one person who really understood me, who understood the trend, and it held my hand every step of the way, in particular because it was my first transaction.
You trusted them. So you knew they wrote the contract and they were at the inspection yep. with you and they were there through the whole thing so that you formed that bond. And really, I mean, the biggest part about it now is having trust that someone is putting you in the right direction. And if your agent isn't with you at the inspection, how can you talk intelligently to your client about what's important and what's not if you weren't there?
It's impossible.
Yeah, it makes it a lot more difficult to build an intimate relationship when there's many different points of contact.
And that intimacy is what you're really going to build your relationship on for further referrals, right? These people are not setting themselves up for referrals because when that person is at a dinner and someone says, oh, you just bought a place, or in 5 years or 10 years when someone's like, oh, I want to buy a place, listen, that person remembers six people they dealt with. They don't remember the one point of contact that got them through everything and that drove the bus. And how are you going to get referrals when you're only one part of what's going on? I think it's a disservice to the agent.
To the client.
But we're talking to agents now. So to the agent that joins that team and that's how it's set up, it's a disservice to them because they're not going to grow.
I think that's such a strong point. And Jason, I appreciate you sharing that it's a disservice as well to the broker because we've had we've done other podcast episodes with people who have similar views about those types of teams, but they don't talk as much about how it really hurts the person's individual growth. Yes, of course, it'll hurt the client relationship potentially and likely, but it does, you're right. It also, if you're just the CMA person on the team, or you're just the closing person or whatever, or you do the initial walk, you know, the showing, you're not getting that holistic experience. And really that's what the buyer or the seller wants.
So our team is set up as everyone is their own individual CEO, right? Sophia and I are there to help you through that process and to make sure that what you're doing is right. Because, you know, overall, you're representing Sophia and I and Clovis Stratton. So we definitely want to be there, but I want you to know, hey, when I take this listing, I have to reach out to the management group. I need to get the assessments. I need to get the reserves. I need to get minutes. I need to coordinate
everything
from the
become us.
Yeah. And then I always say to Sophia, you know, like, and you hear it all the time, what, you know, like if we teach somebody so well and they end up leaving us because they're super successful, I would never have any resentment to that. It would be a testament to the job that.
Oh, and those people are going to be your advocates forever.
Yeah. You're empowering them to, you know, it's a completely different model. It's extremely like time consuming for Sophia and I, but it's not only the right thing for the agent, it is by far the right thing for the client.
Well, yeah, Sophia offline was sharing a story and she actually shared a little bit of it here, but just to reiterate, she knows someone who recently passed her exam, joined a firm, not their, your team or your firm, a different company, and is now calling you with questions because maybe at the firm that person's resources might not be there.
Yeah, she's not getting the support or doesn't feel comfortable for the support. So, it's just really important that they know that the people on our team and the people that work with us know that they can ask us anything, no matter what they might think is dumb. As long as it's not the same question 10 times, because then that's a little much. But in general, we operate with the concept that we all use they all use our assistant. So Sydney, who I think you dealt with, so that everybody is doing the same thing. And that if my client happens to be in the hands of Chris, Zach, Jeff, or Erica, they're getting the same service they would be with me.
Yeah, I just think the idea that they can reach you, somebody could join your team. You guys are a top 1%, your top 1% producers in all of Chicago. Of course, that's all we ever interview on this show. So I think, you know, if I didn't mention that, I should have. But to be able to say, hey, I'm on a team with top producers for a long, long time, who I can go to whenever I have questions. And in particular for newer brokers, of course they have a million questions. That's normal. And to be able to, you know, most firms have some version of support, some version of training. Some are better than others, obviously, but to also be able to say, hey, no, we're, you know, and obviously you guys aren't bragging about your success, but you have a tremendous amount of success. I'm sure your team members greatly appreciate just the experience that you guys bring to answering their support and training questions.
I hope so. Also, Koenig has a ton of, the amount of training that's offered, this is not a plug to them. But it's just the amount of training. I mean, you could literally go to a class every day and learn something new. In downtime, I'm constantly telling them, are you going, you know, I still go to the training courses. I mean, there's always something new to learn. So, pushing the education, learning about Ramin, learning about, you know, how to do advanced CMAs, new programs that are coming out, CRMs, all of that is, you know, your broker pushes you, but we also push them to learn the new technology that comes out.
Yeah, let's talk about the client experience a little bit. And I'm always fascinated to ask this question. And everyone has a bit of a different answer, but what do you think separates, you know, you guys from other brokers? Obviously, you see good brokers, bad brokers, successful, unsuccessful. What do you think makes you guys so different and unique?
Do you want to answer that?
You can. I
think a big part is not necessarily the sibling part of it. I think that's people always find that to be an interesting aspect to it. It's that we attack the same piece of property and from a, I'm from the left, he's from the right. So the way I will assess a property versus the way he assesses a property. We sell it as we're a package when for a listing and you're going to get I'm analytical, but not to the degree that Jason is. And I am much more on the aesthetic side and feeling of it, that they're getting like a full rounded two-headed monster for the price of one.
You can't discount Sophia, because me and Sophia will have, listen, we have constructive arguments, and that's why you have a partner, right? I have three kids, Sophia has none. So we look at property that way differently too.
Oh yeah, always.
Huge one for us. So like I'll be like, oh, this place is terrible, blah, blah, blah. And she'll be like, it's because
I could live here tomorrow.
Sophia's like, I could live here perfectly. And I forget that, right? Because I'm so inundated with the fact that, you know, I have three monsters at home and she doesn't. So like I kind of look at things differently. And a lot of my clients have kids and a lot of Sophia's clients don't. So it's really cool, like, you know, like that we literally, it's potato, potato. I mean, like we look at the same thing completely different, so we can really hit every angle and every type of buyer that could possibly come.
And a lot of times, like there's a buyer that I meet and I'm like, oh my God, you would work much better with my brother. Vice versa.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? Like Jason might start something. And then I end up, and one thing I do want to point out that we do, and we are pretty strict about it, is if Jason starts the transaction, he finishes it. It's too confusing for the client. Plus, we're too busy to each take on each other's work completely. But once the transaction starts, it starts to finish with whomever they're best suited or best matched with.
Yeah, like we collaborate
throughout the whole process.
Throughout the process, but once the train's running, it's one person on that property, right? So like I have a property in Wicker Park that I need help pricing, right? It's my client. Well, after this, we're going there and we're gonna figure out how we can price this better looking at it a different way.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And you guys both have different backgrounds, different perspectives, different, you know, even just
different
different lives. So it's that's huge. And again, the 2-for-1 thing is a pretty cool sales pitch, right? That makes a lot of sense.
Not to rewind for a second too, but just one other thing for those that are new. I think getting back to, and not even teams, but people that are like, you know, hey, I want to concentrate on buying. Or I want to concentrate on selling. You will never be a good agent unless you sleep.
Agreed.
So I don't know. Listen, I love the agents I work with, but when I'm on the phone with them, I'm trying to out hustle them and outmaneuver them and outsmart them. And if you're only working with buyers and you're only working with sellers, how in the heck are you going to outsmart someone that you've never been on that side yeah. with? That's my sense. I think someone saying they're only working with buyers or sellers is the most, I mean, I just don't pull punches. I think it's
still. Yeah, well, it's not a very holistic, it's just, you just don't have the experience to really provide full service at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's like as an athlete, you know, if you never play defense, how you know what's yeah, the best offense?
I think.
But I just didn't want to forget that either for people that are newer agents. I think that's.
Well, and let's talk about the rise. And I think this is all in the same vein. Let's talk about the rise of the discount model, right? There's lots of companies that are doing that. Redfin's probably the most obvious, but there are others. And Jason said something before we got on that was, he goes, I love these discount shops because for brokers like Sophia and Jason, who are full service and really value what they offer, they are not in any way concerned. But can you talk a little bit about that?
Do you want me to go?
That's Jason's wheelhouse. He's going
to. No, I love it because first and foremost, if someone feels that let's take $1 million house, right? If someone feels that saving 10 grand is worth having people in a rotation showing their place,
keys all over the place,
no one knowing anything about it, and having a person who gets paid $30 to open up your door, if that is what you think you want,
right,
I don't want that client. Right. So the type of person that like, and I was saying, this is what I really want to
go. No, go ahead.
I'm skipping around and I'm one of those people you have to keep focused. So
no, you're good.
If you're back, I think that someone that's looking for that is not someone that I want to work with.
And that's not going to value the job.
And that's not going
to
value the job I want to do. I want to work with people that want to work with me. And I want people to appreciate what I do. I think, you know, not to get too, you know, all over the place, but life's too short to work for people that don't value what they do. Because let me tell you something.
What we do.
What we all do. And if someone is not going to hire you over a point, you don't want it. And don't discount your services. That is a slippery road. Do not discount your services. Because, listen, would you rather have, like, you know, don't get into an ego battle. Would you rather have 100 listings at 4%, or would you rather have 60 listings at 6% or 5%? You're going to work twice as hard for people that don't care about you and don't value what you do, right? For people, and then work twice as hard. You work half as much and work for people that enjoy you and that you enjoy the work. And there, I don't care what anyone says.
It's less like work now.
Yeah, it's less than work. It's people
it's
that are working. It's a partnership. People are working with you and they understand what they're paying you for. Don't get caught up into that. And I can't think of anything better than I have a friend who is a huge, he calls it content because he's in the business.
Sure.
Right? So he sells TV shows. And we were talking about 4 or 5, oh man, you know, time flies,
okay,
maybe 10 years ago. Anyways, you don't want to be like Best Buy used to be.
Right.
You don't want to fight.
You'll lose. You'll absolutely lose.
Fight Redfin. I'm not going to fight Zillow. I'm not going to fight these people because you're going to lose. What did Best Buy do? Says, right, we're not going to fight Amazon. We're going to restructure at Best Buy and we're going to provide excellent service. And Best Buy is thriving. If you are at home and you're a new agent and you're freaked out about Redfin, you're not building your business the right
way. And like you were saying, those are clients that aren't going to value you anyway. So you shouldn't almost ever even bump up against it, right? Like it shouldn't really even be in your periphery unless you're specifically going after, you know, those type of clients and you're trying to upsell them, which is tough.
What's happening is what's happening now. I get a bunch of phone calls. Well, we listed with Redfin last year and nothing happened.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, of course. You know, and you know, we need a full service brokerage. Are you interested in selling our house? Yeah, of course. This is what I do. This is what I'm going to do that they don't do.
Right? It's actually better when they come from that environment to actually soak up what you're telling
and
them.
It's all going to happen, right? Because, you know, the cream rises to the top. Anyone can be, I will say, Sophia and I did like good business. The minute the market melted down, Sophia and I's business doubled.
Yeah, there's not a lot of competition at the top. There just isn't. And which is, by the way, evidenced by how generous Sophia and Jason and everyone else we've ever interviewed for this podcast has been. These are people that are like Sophia and Jason, who are not worried about, you know, discount firms. They're not worried about other brokers. They are just working on their own skill set, their own relationships, their clients, and they thrive despite the fact that there are discount firms doing it for a lot cheaper, right?
I also think a really important thing to tell somebody who's in the business that's starting out is don't veer from your plan. You have to make a plan. Whatever it is, you have to make a plan and you have to stick with it. As tempting as it may be to say, I'm going to take a listing that A, I know the seller is probably not the right person for me. B, they tried to talk me down on commission. It sometimes is hard to walk away from that, but you have to walk away when it doesn't follow your business model. And I did it 2 weeks ago. I just said, no, I won't discount my commission. I'm not a discount broker and I don't give discount service. So I won't take a discount price. I didn't get the listing, but I was fine with it.
Yeah,
totally. I was more than fine.
Yeah, and by the way, I've heard this from my own boss who always said, never try to compete on price. You'll always lose. You'll always lose for a million reasons.
Yeah. I'm willing to, you know, to take less. I mean, that's not the word I use, but someone's always willing to take.
Well, I mean, if you think about like the flat fee model was, you know, 10 years ago was sort of this thing that was seemingly pretty scary because it was brokers saying, hey, I'll put your listing on the MLS for $300 and that's it, right? And then you know, I can still help you a little bit here and there, but you know, the seller really does everything else. And, you know, I thought, well, this is going to be the end of the realtor because obviously I was wrong. And the reason I was wrong is because you guys are so much more valuable than putting the listing on the MLS. In fact, that's probably the least valuable thing you do, right? I mean, anybody can do that, but the part that buyers and sellers need help with is like the other 99% that can't be automated and can't be streamlined. And that's where,
don't give away you go into a listing appointment. I don't tell them off the bat, you need to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to give you the pricing and all of the comps because then they can do that. Like my knowledge and my experience is worth something. And, you know, like Jason and I will go into, I don't go in and just say here, I mean, unless it's it's a repeat client, you know, that's a different story, but going in cold, I don't give the milk away for free. I don't do any of that until you've decided you want to work with me. Like I'm not going to buy a listing, which is basically when you say, okay, we can list it for this, which is a ridiculous price.
Cause the price is irrelevant. The price is what it is. Our service.
Right. So I don't even like to talk about the price.
I mean, it could be a dollar, it could be $100 million. It's irrelevant. You know, hey, listen, this is what, you know, because at the end of the day, the owner is going to price their place where they want to price it. And then you can say, hey, you know what? This is a waste of my time and money because it costs thousands of dollars to list the price.
You're
listing it right. So it's irrelevant. It's not worth taking.
I was at an Inman event about a year ago and in New York, and they had the most successful realtor in the country. And I forget his name. He's on a TV show as well, but he's out in Silicon Valley. And he said, you know, he was talking to the audience about what he does that's so unique. Why is he so much more successful? And his average sales, like, God knows, I think it's like $8 million, something incredible. And he said, well, on day two, of each listing. He goes, you can't just put these on the MLS and they sell. It's like, that's not how it works at that price point. He said, the MLS is almost irrelevant, you know? And he said, but on day two, I've spent 30 grand of my own money marketing this property because I know what I'm doing. Like, people pay me a huge amount of money to sell these incredible homes because I put my own money and invest in. You guys were just mentioning you spend money too. And we know what we're doing. So that's why. And that's what separates you from somebody just putting it up on the MLS, right?
Taking a listing too, and you spend your, I mean, what other, there are very few professions where you actually potentially right. are working for free. Like, you don't get paid unless it sells. So to take a listing and spend all of that money, and we're really talking about listings a lot here, but you take the listing and you spend all that money, you're not going to do it on something right. you don't have the confidence in, that it's.
Well, I admire your both of your tenacity and persistence in your values and how you guys run your business. And I love that you walk away. Hopefully you don't have to do that often, but I'm sure, you know, like you said, it happens. And you guys are confident enough that there's enough business out there to be able to walk away from, you know.
They're always. Right. So, and you know, I will tell you, like, I know when me, Sophia and I will have like a bad client or we feel like we're having a bad client, we'll call each other and she'll be like, cause you just did that
recently.
And, yeah. and I was like, don't take the listing. Yeah. Here's the problem is that
right.
time sucks. And I'm not talking, not
emotional.
Time, yeah. Emotional. So like, don't, yeah, I'm saying it the wrong way. Like it will, you know, a $20,000 commission from just a rotten
you're right.
person will cost you 40. Because you're not out there and you're not lively, you don't have your skip and your jump, you don't have anything because this person is beating you down and it affects everything else. Like when you Sophia and I have all been there, but I'm telling you, as a new agent, don't right. be afraid to fire somebody. Walk away, and I'm telling you, the next day you're gonna be like, I fired this person, I'm gonna pick up three other listings or two other clients, and I'm gonna be happy about it. And it's gonna, I won't even remember that place. And I could say something else too. I had my financial advisor one time was talking to me, who actually used to trade for me, so we've been knowing each other since we were like 25 years. And one time I was doing something. I think I was like making keys or something, whatever. Yeah. And he said, I had a guy once when I was training who said to me, figure out what, this is great for new agents, figure out what you make a
right.
year.
Yep.
Figure out the hours that you're going to make. And he said, and any task that's beneath that hourly wage.
Yeah. Delegate it if it needs to be done, find someone else to do it cheaper. Right.
Your service, whatever, and stay focused to making money. Like your hours should be focused on that hourly rate, not on a $10 task. It was one of the greatest things that someone said to me like 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, and I think everyone listening, whether they're new brokers, existing brokers, even top one percenters like yourselves, we all can always readjust and go, you know, I just spent 2 hours doing this particular task that I could have outsourced, or I could have had someone else in the office do, and or just isn't worth doing at all. And yep. to be able to walk away from that, it's tough because we like to be able to get things done and do things. It's okay to walk away.
Yeah, I think that was that. And I think another thing that we learned, I know we're running short on time. I think another, I could tell you another thing is, it's hard to say this when you're an early agent, you'll take a listing because I did it, you know, in kingdom come, you know, wherever
sure,
there's a listing,
sure.
there's a client, I will be there. At some point, that hour and a half you're driving is costing you way more than that commission check you're getting. At some point, you have to become hyper-local.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're moving there in the next year, probably not the best idea. But yeah, fine. And also, by the way, you can't possibly know that area as well as your own targeted, you know, area that you work most of the time, yeah. right? Like, how much value are you even really providing if you don't really do business out there?
Yeah. Nancy Nagy, our CEO, sat us down. I want to say it like,
well, she was our broker.
She was our broker.
Zero, yeah.
yeah. I like the three times that we had the hugest jumps in our production were the drop in 08 when it weeded out everybody, and then the cream rise, the people that wanted to work, you know, rise to the top. The second for me was delegating and getting an assistant. And the third, which doubled our production, was becoming hyperlocal.
Yeah, that's boy, I think that is a great place to end, because those are three really, really great, great points that that I want the listeners, again, no matter what level of production you're at, top producer to brand new. Those are great things. And also I want to make sure a couple of things to finish up on. Sophia and Jason do have a team. And if you're looking to work with a team like this, if you're a broker, you're listening, and you say, boy, I'm not really getting this kind of support or service, or these two sound really cool, and I want to work for a team like that, what's the best way that a broker, or if a buyer, a seller, a renter, an investor is like, hey, I need a new broker and I want to work with the Clopas Stratton team, what's the best way that, you know, that people can reach out to you guys?
Email in my first initial, my last name, S. Klopas, at KoenigRubloff, RUBLOFF.com, or cell 312-927-0334.
Awesome.
And make sure to follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Klopas.
Yeah.
Under the team.
Yes, Clopas Stratton _ team. We will put a link to that, by the way. They have a fantastic Instagram account. And for those regular listeners, you know, we have Carrie McCormick on every month, and Carrie McCormick has an incredible Instagram, and she follows these guys. So if she follows them, they must be doing something really cool. And I follow them too. They're actually very, very really cool Instagram. And you can always also contact them directly through their website, which is clopasstratton.com. We'll put a link to that in the notes as well. But I think we covered it all, really. I mean, this was great. And so I want to just thank, first of all, I want to thank the listeners for you know, sticking around for another episode. This is certainly one of my favorites that we've done. But also I want to thank, of course, Sophia and Jason, you know, of the Clopas Stratton team. And it really, we're so honored. This is, gosh, 80 something episodes in, that these top 1%ers who are too busy to do this show find the time to do it as a way to give back to the real estate community. We're so honored that they do. And it was fun too. And so guys, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
And we'll see everyone on the next episode. So thanks.
Bye.